Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Welcome to episode number 4 of the Road to Divi 1. Thanks for joining us for another week. I'm joined with my co-host of this podcast series, Andy Buchanan, on a Sunday night to recap his training week, talk about a couple of developments in the Bendigo Bat season. I'm also going to have a beer, not sure if he's having a cup of tea, but Andy, a bit's changed since I spoke to you last time. You're in lockdown, and welcome to this week's episode.
Yeah, thanks, Brady. Always good to be on. I was actually, when you said, oh, welcome to episode 4, I actually had to think, and I can't believe we've made it into 4 episodes. It's pretty exciting. So, but yeah, it's all changing down here in Victoria. So I'm actually just drinking a Mount Franklin lightly sparkled lime drink. So yeah, no tea for me.
Bit of a step up from the tea. I'll pay that. We could be on like a hard liquor in 3 or 4 episodes time, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe if we do a few after Gold Coast, I might be on a few of the beers.
Have you got a deal going at the moment where you're not drinking beers until Gold Coast?
Nah, I don't know. I'm not a big drinker. I'll occasionally enjoy a beer every now and then, but I don't know. I just see they're a bit of a waste of money, really. And I I don't hang out for them, so I just don't really drink them. I'm not an anti-drinker. Like, I'll happily go to the pub and have a pot and Palmer and that kind of stuff. But I just don't really, I don't know. Just never been a big drinker. So I'm quite happy. Not really drinking. Although I do remember, I reckon it was before Burnie 10 last year. They have a dinner before the day before the race. And, Liam Adams and I shared a beer and we'll had a beer together. And a lot of the other people on the, this is the night before the race. A lot of the other people were kind of looking at us being like, like, what are you doing? You're racing tomorrow, is it? And yeah, it was quite funny. We were sitting with a few of the sponsors and they were thinking, oh, geez, these are a rowdy bunch. But yeah, so I do have the odd beer, but I definitely don't swear off beer. I can quite easily go without.
There was a famous story about Di Castella the night before Boston when he won it, I think. That same thing, he cracked a beer and then they all looked at him and thought, we've just spent all this money on getting this guy over here and paying appearance fees and all this kind of stuff, and he's not taking our race seriously at all. And then I think he went out and won it the next day. So just part of his routine, I think. But it's interesting you bring up that point. Like, until you have beers at home, you're at a good stage. Like, I remember I used to be like you, but now there's always beers in the beer fridge. Like, I can't believe we even have a beer fridge now in our shed. And that's like, you're just in a trap. Like, once you go there, you just can't go back, I don't reckon.
Yeah. No, I know what you mean. And I suppose it's tricky for you because you just keep getting beers delivered to your house a bit. So it's, if there was one in the fridge, I'd definitely have the odd one. But I don't know. I just don't miss them. So I kind of feel like, what are they adding? I don't really need them. So they don't really hydrate you at all. So more so do the opposite.
Nah, there's some kind of electrolytes in there, isn't there? I think there's something it makes them okay.
Yeah, maybe a few carbs, but that's probably...
I'm trying to convince myself here. You're making me feel bad now as I sit back with my Sierra Nevada Californian IPA citrusy and sessionable ale. It's a beautiful beer. Wow. Yeah.
That's a mouthful.
See, I'm at that stage now where I just buy like 6 packs or even like 4 packs now of just random beers just to put in the fridge. And I might only have one a night over like, you know, over a week. But just to taste different ones because there's just such a variety.
My theory is, you know, it's a good beer when you can only have one of them because you're like, oh man, I'm full from that.
Yeah.
Like as opposed to like, say, a Great Northern where you can easily roll 6 of them and they don't even touch the sides kind of thing. And you're just like, this is weak as piss.
Blokes at work absolutely love Great Northern. And like, they're all like fishermen and like they go chainsaws and cut wood and stuff like that. Like they just swear on it. And then I'm just like, I just can't see the appeal. But I guess if you're going to sit there and have 10 of them, that's a good beer.
Yeah, I think if you're gonna be drinking for a few hours, I think it's an easy beer to have because they just go down so easily. Whereas I don't think they actually taste like beer. I prefer something a bit more heavy, I suppose. Like I really like the Bolter. Have you got around them?
Yeah,
before?
Yeah, they're good, but they're always a bit heavier, aren't they? Like those craft beers, and when it gets you in trouble, like I remember at our Christmas party last year. They're all drinking Great Northerns. I'm drinking some like craft beer. You're in a shout with them. It gets like 2.5 hours in. You're absolutely like, you know, in big trouble, got to go home. And all these guys are sitting there like, fine.
I often have that issue at our Christmas party because I get in a shout with the guys I work with and they're, one of them's easily double my weight. And it's, it doesn't normally end well for me, and it's it gets pretty messy, especially when you're not used to drinking beer, and all of a sudden you're kind of you're 4 or 5 schooners in, you're kind of like, oh geez, it's only 6 o'clock. I need a
escape plan.
I need to get out of this.
Yeah, and especially like any day of the year, you've probably ran like a minimum of 10-15 k's as well. So like you're always hitting it dehydrated too, I reckon.
Yeah, anyway. It's just. That reminds me of the Tuesday night sessions at the lake we used to do, and we'd do them at about 6 o'clock at night, and then I would this was back when I was at uni.
7 o'clock. We used to meet at seven on a Tuesday night.
Geez. Yeah, 7 o'clock, and do the session. I'd get straight home, and my mates would already be messaging me, and I'd get straight home and have a shower beer, and then head to their place, and knock down a few beers, and then after 4 or 5, you'd be pretty chirpy, and then you'd hit up Universal on a Tuesday night. That were the golden days.
Yeah, and you'd go somewhere for like $20 a week and drink vodka or something. And it's just like, how do you do that after 8x1K?
Yeah, the different wristbands and all you could drink. And dangerous.
Really reminiscent here. Let's get on to something that's current. I stuffed up last week. I think I said it was 5 weeks till Gold Coast when it was really 6. But today would be 5 weeks?
Yes. Yeah, that's. Five I think weeks. It is. I'm pretty sure we've got 4 weeks of the term left, so it's in the middle of the weekend of the holidays. So
long time listener, Chris Rancy, he's coming off an injury, and he got a bit panicked when he saw 5 weeks when it was really 6 weeks. So sorry, Chris, for giving you a scare. I think you've got 5 weeks today. So we'll unpack your week, and then we'll talk about the COVID situation and how that's kind of affected things as well. So you want to take us through?
Yep.
You come off that monster of a long run in the double last Sunday. So what did your Monday look like?
Yeah, Monday was just a very easy 30 minutes in the morning. So that's kind of out at about 5:30. And then did the res loop, which is the loop that I took you on back in the day. So that was 17K, pretty good elevation, and just kind of ticking along. So Monday's a pretty big day just with work and then running twice. I'm always quite happy to have Monday done. I've listened on Monday morning. There's a podcast that Milko got me on, which is called The Sure Thing, and it's about these two guys that did insider trading. Quite interesting if you're looking for a podcast and you're interested in investment banking kind of stuff. So that got me through the Monday morning.
I reckon Zaka recommended this to me, actually.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. They you'd probably recognize it because one of them, sure one thing, of the guys yeah. actually purchased a property on the block, and then it fell through because he got caught. So it's long story short.
What, now you listen to his advice?
Nah, so it's like a true crime kind of podcast.
Oh,
so
this isn't the one that Zach had told me about.
Yeah, right. They
his was actually listen to this to for what to invest into.
Oh,
I think his was actually cryptocurrency stuff.
Oh,
Zach
shit,
is all
yeah.
over that stuff, yeah. Anyway.
No, it's too up and down for me. But this one's about we're going very off topic tonight, but that's all right. A guy worked for the Bureau of Statistics, and he was releasing employment data out to a guy, and then he was buying or selling the Australian dollar. It's pretty out there, but it's a good listen. So that got me through Monday morning.
Milko's good with the podcast recommendations as well, isn't he?
He is. We kind of that's probably half of our chat is I heard this podcast, you should listen to it, and kind of I got him onto that 30 for 30, which I know I mentioned must have been the first episode of this. And I've actually had a few people message me and say, oh, cheers for that recommendation. They've been getting around it. So, yeah, I always like a new podcast, especially, I don't know, I don't listen to that many running podcasts just because when I'm out running, I just like to zone out. but in saying that, definitely listen to this one because this one's worth listening to if you want to find out about beer or anything like that.
Beer, financial podcast, we're like 5 minutes in, don't know running.
Yeah, but getting back onto my week, so that was Monday.
Onto that though, before, as you said, you always want to get Monday done, and it's often like a big day with work. It's also a big day because you're 24 hours after Sunday. I'll look at my Monday on my program and I'm like, oh, it's a 70-minute morning and 30-minute double. But you go to bed super tired, but you've still got that added fatigue from the Sunday, which is a huge stress usually. And I think people sometimes underrate that. Like you're rolling a fatigued body out and, you hit the ground running. And Monday's just got stress on it anyway. Like it feels like everything goes back to zero on your Strava and like you hit the ground running at work, like school teaching Mondays a stressful day. I think some people forget about that when they look at Mondays.
And I think often they view it as you just kind of like, all right, new week, fresh week, you start from zero. But at the same time, you don't really because you've got all that fatigue from Sunday. And they kind of, like I do it all the time, you kind of forget. Like when I'm going out on that Monday morning run, you're kind of like, oh, yeah, new week, haven't done any training kind of thing. I should be fresh. And you're like, hang on, it's less than 24 hours ago. I did my Sunday long run and then I doubled again. So it's,
most people work out Tuesdays as well. Like I used to have a saying to a couple of guys I coach, I'm like, you're meant to feel shit on Mondays. Like, it's okay. Like, it's fine. I know you don't want to start the week feeling shit, but you're meant to feel shit on Mondays. And if you don't, maybe like you could add a few Ks to your Sunday or something. Like it's meant to be where you've been stressed and now you're absorbing it on that Monday.
Yeah, yeah. And a real kind of recovery day and get to Tuesday feeling on top of things, I suppose, because you only get to Tuesday feeling like you're still trying to recover.
And this is important to note here, your morning run was at 4:47 pace and your afternoon run was at 4:45 pace.
We're
talking about a 13:45K guy here, ladies and gents, and a 62-minute 28:20 10K. Like, it's okay to go slow.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And that's, people that I coach always ask me, like, oh, what pace should I run? And it's just like, your body will tell you, like, don't look at your watch, just your body will tell you how fast you can run and just listen to your body. And, like, I hardly ever look at, the only reason I look at my watch is, to change a song or if a podcast ends or something like that. It's just, I never look at pace, especially in the easy runs. Like it's just tick along. And sometimes I run on like technical trails just to slow me down and just use slightly different muscles and all that kind of stuff. So it's, you can fall into a real trap running too fast on those easy days. And then you just, the days you're meant to run fast, you can't run fast. And you're kind of like, you don't get as much from it. So it's,
turn your K-splits off. Just have your stopwatch face running.
Yep.
Get home and then I'll look at my Ks and be like, all right, I've got 400 meters to go. I'll run up the road for 200 meters and back.
Yeah. Like, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Or just run on time. Anyway, so that's your Monday. Tuesday would have been a workout.
Yeah. So Tuesday, bit of a morning run there just with the school kids. And then the workout was, it was a bit of a meaty one, actually. I kind of call it when you get fit, you kind of get stupider, if that makes sense, where you can, I don't know, yeah, you can run fast, but more so don't think about how hard things should be. And you're kind of like, oh, yeah, I can do that kind of thing. And it was 800 mile by three. So I was having a minute recovery between the first two 800s and then a jog lap recovery before the mile and then after the mile. So this was a pretty average old day. On Tuesday rained all day. I'm not sure what it was like up there in Echuca, yeah, but it rained.
Yeah.
Rained all day, and it was a track workout, and it was just kind of like, oh, can we be bothered doing this kind of thing? Actually hit some pretty good splits. I had a heap of work. I had a heap of help doing this one. I put a bit of a video up on the Bendigo Bats Instagram page. I think I called it a bat train. So there's a few kids there helping me out. Luckily we had Pete turn the lights on at the track, which just makes such a big difference having the lights on. Like we kind of warm up at 4:30. By the time we start the session, it's often 5:10, and it's kind of getting pretty dark, and then halfway through the session it's nearly pitch black. And Pete turned the lights on. Did you see any of those videos that I put up?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. It looks bloody windy here too. 25Ks, it says on your Strava.
Yeah, it's always windy at the track. Always windy.
That's pretty windy. That's like that night we had the 5K frenzy kind of wind, 25Ks.
Yeah. I can remember the wind, but it wasn't the typical, you know how it's always windy up the home straight?
Yeah.
I think this wind actually shifted, and we had it on the kind of on that bend, the 100-meter bend. So it wasn't as bad because you kind of didn't, I don't know, I'm so used to having it up that home straight, and in that last 100 meters of all your reps, you just feel terrible. Whereas it wasn't in that spot, so I didn't really notice the wind too much. And I think just having the lights on, it just boosts your morale so much. And everyone was kind of like, oh, the group wasn't super pumped for the workout, and then the lights come on and it was bloody awesome. And everyone kind of walked away pretty happy from that session. And it felt like a pretty controlled effort. I felt like there was probably more there, and didn't really hit. Like I kind of hit 4:40 for the first mile, and then 4:32.
Hey, you did 800s first, though, didn't you?
Yeah, I did some 800s, so I'll read out each split. Yeah. So it was 2:17, 2:14, 4:41. So that's 800,
so
800
just
mile.
To get my head around it, you do 800 minute off, 800 lap jog mile.
Yep.
And then a lap jog.
And then lap jog, then straight back into the 8. Yep.
Yeah.
And then 2:14, 2:13, 4:32 for the second set, and then 2:12, 2:12, 4:30. So definitely one thing I'm finding with the extra Ks I'm doing, and especially the weather being a bit cooler, I'm probably just taking two reps to kind of warm up and actually feel half decent. Do you ever feel that when you're kind of in the middle of a marathon block that you take a bit, it's like your engine takes a bit longer to warm up?
Yeah. And I remember you start some of those workouts super tired and you're like, how, like even your warm up pace, you might be like struggling to hit 4:30s and you're like, how am I about to do a workout? And then you get halfway, three quarters of the way through it, and all of a sudden you're flying. Like, I think it's actually a good sign that there's so much fitness there, and when you can still run fast on tired legs is also a really good sign as well. And then this one, it seems like the miles, well, what are you kind of hitting? Like 66s, 67s for the 800s, and then your similar pace really for the miles?
Yeah, pretty similar. The first set probably wasn't really that flash. I would have been happy if I ran the second set as the first set and then got faster. But I think, I don't know, it was that just shows that I was actually feeling better as the workout went on and kind of finished. I think I finished that last lap in a 60, I think it was a 63, because I had Pete there yelling at me, which was good fun. I kind of finished feeling full of running and kind of feeling like it, I don't know, it was a good workout. It wasn't a smash it out of the park workout, but just solid, which I think is what you need. You don't need to be banging out every session really hard. I was getting pretty tired by this stage. I was for the first time starting to feel that true marathon fatigue that everyone kind of talks about. I've heard people talk about it. I've never experienced it till kind of mid this week, and I was kind of like, oh yeah, I feel pretty tired. So I was happy with that. In the end, it was like, well, my Garmin had 11.8, which, who knows, it was probably closer to close to 11K around the track. So it was a big, big volume session, but it was really good having the company there and then also having those lights on. Just, I don't know. I felt a bit sorry for Brian Watson. He's a Bendigo guy and he rocked up halfway through, jumped in with us. And then we kind of left and Pete left as well and he just turned the lights out and Brian was mid-rep and he just would have gone from having these perfect lights to it being nearly pitch black and didn't even know that it was happening. So I feel for Brian. He kind of got stitched up a bit there. But, yeah, no, it was good fun, that workout. I've never done that one before. And definitely the toughest part is having just that minute recovery between those two 800s because you're running at a pretty good clip. So
we think about similar clip, you'd have a minute off of 400s.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? Yep. Like maybe you'd go 2 seconds quicker, but you'd get a whole minute standing compared to a minute and you've done maybe a few seconds slower, but done double the distance.
Yeah. And 800's just that, I don't know, on a track, it's so different. It's that tough distance where it's like, you're still going for a bit, but you're expected to run pretty fast. So it's probably one of my least favorite distances on the track.
You can't really wing an 800. Like, you can wing a quick 4. I've even been chucking a few 8s at the end of our track workouts because I know the boys, if it was 400 to finish off on, they'd just light the track up. But when it's 800, you got to learn to settle, like, progress it a bit, but it's still a bit to go at the end there. And just on your point on those, like, just ticking the workouts off, like, I always used to give workouts a score, like, they were excellent, satisfactory or poor, and like almost striving never to hit excellent and hitting poor, but everything's always satisfactory, like for the whole, like, so if you can do that for the next, you know, 4 weeks, no amazing ones, no poor ones, but everything's just ticked off and nice and you're hitting what you need to hit without doing anything special, or you're not too tired that it's poor, that would be, I think sometimes people get too caught up and try to hit those excellent ones, and then the next week they're injured or they've got to miss something or whatever it is.
Yeah, I remember year before, it was actually after Zatopek and that half marathon I did, I had a fair few people ask me, like, you've just ran two massive PBs, what's changed? And I kind of said to them, like, probably the biggest thing was I went Tuesday, Friday, so slightly changed my sessions from 3 sessions to 2 sessions. And after every session, I'll send a screenshot of my splits to Scotty and I'll always tell him how I felt, which is, it's good for him to know, but I think it's a good spot for me to kind of have a debrief and kind of rate the session similar to what you do. And I remember every single session I did for that 6 months before Zatopek was exactly what he subscribed. Like, I just hit every single session. I think that's what it was. It was just that consistency. And there wasn't, there was a few good sessions in there, but there wasn't any absolutely outstanding ones. But on the flip side, there was no bad sessions. Which I've never had that consistency before. So it was, I think that's the key.
And it gives you a bit of self-control sometimes in workouts as well. Like, if you're 3/4 of the way through it and you can feel like you're starting to ramp it up and like you're chasing that excellent session, to just be like, no, let's just back off. Let's get our tick here for a pass mark. And then that helps us get our pass mark later in the week. Like, it's all about thinking like that. Anyway, Wednesday, medium long run. 20K, that's a small one for you.
It is. So I actually, because I work 0.8 at school, I did a full day last week at a cross country. So I actually had Thursday off as a day in lieu kind of thing. So that is why I switched my session to Thursday and therefore didn't want to push that medium long run too much. So that was a bit of a, the day before. And I think Scotty was kind of picking up that I was feeling that bit of fatigue, probably just through a few things I was letting him know about. So normally I'm doing an hour 45 at least, sometimes up to 2 hours at kind of 4 rows kind of thing. And it felt really good just to do 20K at 4:33s, nice and flat, nice and easy. I think that's what I needed. And then got a bit of a sleep in Thursday morning. And had a pretty good session Thursday, so that was quite good having the day off Thursday, and I felt that was like the reset I kind of needed, and now I'm kind of getting a bit more of a reset over the next few days. So backed it off, and I think that's it was definitely the smart decision by Scotty just to be like, yeah, let's not get greedy. Let's back this off. We don't need to keep pushing. So, that's why that was a bit shorter. And it was, good to have a bit of company with the twins there.
Yeah, the two twins, Ned and Matt, who have featured a bit on this podcast. We must get them on one week and hear about their running journey.
Yeah, we will have
to. A couple of loose haircuts amongst those two boys. Pretty popular on our social media. Then the second workout, so as you're talking about Thursday, was 3x2.5K.
Yep.
Minutes walk recovery, I think, or jog?
Yeah, bit of both. Probably more so just a bit of a standing around. There was a slight breeze at the lake, so doing 2.5K, I was kind of doing, you do two straights and one straight, depending on where you start. So I was a bit strategic about where I was starting, that kind of stuff. That's why there was a big difference between those two recoveries there, because I was kind of getting on the foot falcon a bit to try and get up that straight. Get out of the headwind.
So explain to the listeners, your first 2 minute recovery was at 14 minute kilometer pace, and your second one was at 6 minute kilometer pace.
So I was just so that first one I stopped and then walked up probably a minute and a half, turned around, walked back and started from the exact same spot and then ran in the opposite direction. Whereas the second one, I kind of stopped and then kept jogging and then probably stopped and walked for 20 seconds and then jogged the rest of the way through. So slightly different, probably doesn't really make a difference with how much I was recovering. I was wearing my heart rate strap there and my heart rate got down to 136 for both recoveries. So not a massive difference. I think just kind of got moving versus standing around. So, that's why there was just a pretty big headwind going down the Napier Street side of the lake. So I kind of thought, it's pretty tough out here solo. It was pretty cold. I thought, don't need to make this harder for myself. So, use the wind to my advantage a little bit there.
Yeah, you got to know when to do that. This data here, so I did the first one at 7:17, which is 2:55k pace. The second one at 7:07, which is 2:51k pace. And the last one at 7:06, which is 2:50k pace. But your heart rate data is ridiculous. Like the first one run at 2:55 pace was 159 average for the 2.5k. The second one going at 2:51 pace was 148, and the last one was 166.
Yeah,
is this right?
Yeah, no, I actually if you look at the graph, which I can't get up, but
yeah, it's taking a while to kick in.
Yeah, it's I don't know the first one. Okay. The first one's worked, and then you can see the recovery's worked, but then after that, it's going along fine, and then something happened where it must have because I used that polar one, and this is the first time I've ever had any drama, because it went from 172, this is in a rep, to down to 124. And then, I don't know, it must have slipped down or something. Are you looking at that graph?
That's the blue one, isn't it? The red one's the pace, is that right?
Nah, it's the opposite.
The red.
I'm pretty sure.
Sorry.
The red. So you can see that, you can see at 2.5K where it dropped real sharp, and that's the recovery, and then it builds back up, and then there's this. Yeah, the Lions are doing real funny things there. That's the first time I've ever seen it not really work that well. And I don't know if it was because the temperature or if it was, it must have slipped a little bit or something. But
Oh, that's right. A lot of people are now feeling better about themselves because that was that was ridiculous. If you're running 2:50 pace and just getting into the 160s,
that'd
be pretty impressive. Show that you're pretty fit. And then was that the instructions to hit that kind of pace?
Nah, so Scotty just said, I think the phrase was get after it. So whenever I kind of see that, it means there's no warm-up rep. It's kind of like, let's see how we go. And I, beforehand, as I was driving to the lake, I was kind of, I was actually meant to have Sean Forrest, the number one bat supporter. He was going to come down on the bike and just kind of keep me a bit of company. But he couldn't get there that morning. So I was kind of, it was a bit tough because it was the first session I've done completely solo, didn't have anyone to warm up with, cool down with or anything. for ages. And it was, I don't know, motivation was a bit low, but I was, my aim was to try and hit 255s and then 250s for the second and third. And I was nearly bang on that. So I was really happy. I walked away feeling good. It was definitely hard work, but felt pretty good, and they're pretty, pretty quick times. So I was kind of pretty happy. Cause if I do 8x K and if I run them around 250 K pace, I'm wrapped. Whereas doing 2.5 K at that pace,
you've done 7.5 K worth of work at nearly 250 pace.
Yeah. So I was really happy. Wore the Alpha Flies, again. So that was one of my final little tests. So I reckon I'm going to wear them for Launceston half. And that will be my final. If that goes well, I'll definitely lock them in, because I know what to expect from the next percents. Whereas I suppose with the Alpha Flies, there's still that little bit of unknown. So I'll wear them, I reckon, in the half. And if they go well there, that will be the marathon shoe. But at the moment, they're looking like they're the shoe.
Oh, interesting. Have you used them for any marathon pace stuff yet?
Yeah, I wore them for a 10-mile tempo where I was running, I think, 3.06s or 3.08s or something like that.
So, out at Huntley, wasn't it?
At Huntley.
That's when Shaw was on the bike as well last time, wasn't it? Yeah.
So I have worn them at that pace and they felt really good. But the thing I noticed this time is because they're that different, the upper, they don't keep your feet warm, and my feet were freezing this morning, and it was really weird. Like, I've never had that feeling in a shoe before, because they're quite airy, the shoes. So at least I won't have that issue down at up at Gold Coast, hopefully.
And you can see your socks through them as well.
Yeah.
Which can really impact your swagger.
Yeah, well, Features, our sponsor, they'll be wrapped with that, I reckon.
Bendigo Bat Shoe Sock Sponsor. They did send me some ones that fit me as well.
Thank you, I can't
Chris
believe that.
And Features for getting me in some smaller pairs.
What colour did you get?
Same colour. Same Bendigo, Bendigo Bats blue,
So
now I've got three pairs. I'm going all right.
Oh, nice!
I can afford to wear them for workouts and stuff, because usually I save my good socks just for like race day.
Yeah.
But now I've got one for race day and two for training.
How I work it these days, because I've got a fair collection. I can't run in normal Nike socks anymore. It's like I can't run in them. So every run is in the Features, and then I've got a few pairs that are brand new pairs that I save for races. So every big race, it's a brand new pair, because I don't think anything compares to that.
Yeah, brand new pair.
Yep.
Jeez, must be nice.
Oh, it's like wearing a new pair of jocks. It's bloody great. If I ever
some people get that like two or three times a year. You get it every race. You race regularly as well.
Yeah, I do. So it's pretty nice, actually. But since we've got the Bendigo Bats blue color, I'll have to keep repping them, so it won't be a new pair every XCR series, but that's all right.
Yeah, and you're right about the Gold Coast. You won't have to deal with cold feet, but we'll talk about that when we get to your Sunday run, but pretty much easy jogging through to Sunday then?
Yeah, pretty easy. It kind of got a little bit different. I remember on that Thursday run, that's when COVID cases here in Victoria were starting to spike, and there was all that kind of talk about, oh yeah, we're going in, every man and his dog reckons they've got a personal line with Dan Andrews and they know exactly what's going to happen. And there was all that talk about lockdown, and I was it was nice to get out and run and just not have any, like not have my phone with me and not know what was happening and not have, all these people on Facebook saying this is happening and they don't actually have any idea. So that was the last run, I suppose, before, this bit of a lockdown didn't come into effect, but we knew it was happening. So since then, I've been staying pretty close to home, but I've got a lot of good loops around home, which is good.
Bendigo had cases too, didn't they? Which is the first time, like maybe since that first national lockdown, like Bendigo was kind of in the news and stuff.
Yeah, I don't think we had any actual cases, but we had people came up to certain venues in Bendigo that Yeah, so I think they call them tier. I think there was one tier one site and a tier two site. So there was definitely COVID around, and that was a bit of a shock to us up here because we were always that little bit more removed than Melbourne, as you would have found up in Echuca as well. It's you hear of it, but we haven't been affected nearly as much as what Melbourne people have. So it was it's an interesting time at the moment. Very interesting.
Haven't been affected with the cases, but regional Victoria still had like some pretty massive lockdowns, which kind of frustrated me seeing some stuff on social media about obviously Melbourne had it hard with their long hard one, but like people sometimes forget that Victoria is more than just Melbourne.
Yes, that is true. And it's I don't know. I didn't realise how hard it was in Melbourne until I was chatting to my sister. She lives in Brunswick over Christmas, and she was kind of like, anytime, like she lives in a small apartment, anytime she went outside, there was nearly cops driving past asking her what she was doing.
They were under curfew. Remember that? Like,
yeah.
I remember. I talked to Zachary Mattress every day, the two other owners of Runs PB, and like, yeah, they had it really tough. Yeah. Like, so regional didn't have to do that really tough lockdown. But they've still been pretty massively affected. I think, you'd say Melbourne's been mostly affected, and then regional Vic, and then you start talking about other parts of Australia in another conversation. But, yeah, that's so then that came in. So for you, did it have much of an impact? Did you think about getting over the border?
No, I never really thought about it.
I was going to offer our little unit in Moama. Like, mate, you want to come up, get over the bridge?
That would have been a good little training camp,
actually. Yeah, I'm like, train with us, you're in a different state.
You can do
your remote learning stuff from online. You could probably still do your job. Here I am suggesting this 4 days after the state's been locked down.
Thanks.
Yeah. I thought about it. I should send any message, but I'm like, never got around to that.
So it's, I don't know, I was actually, because as I was saying just before, I'd kind of hit that that real marathon fatigue. So I was kind of, I don't know, part of me was like, oh, a lockdown actually wouldn't be too bad because it's, you literally have to stay at home and do nothing. So it's kind of like, yeah, that'd be really nice at the moment just to kind of, I don't know, get back to the simple things and just kick back and really focus on my training. So it's, it hasn't been too bad, and we're pretty well set up with remote learning, and it's good. They haven't been too, I don't know, I think people forget how stressful this is for kids as well, and we haven't really been, our school isn't really pushing out too much new work. It's more so just continue on with the work you've been doing and get that finished, and it's going to be a quiet few days for us, but it's, it hasn't really affected my training too much. This morning, I was planning on doing 2 hours and then doing that solid 6K at the end, but just kind of had to pull that back a little bit just because I don't know. I think rules are there for a reason, and I think Victoria's got to where they have, considering we had 600 and something cases, because everyone's played their part. And I kind of, I don't know, I wouldn't feel right doing the wrong thing in not following those rules. So I know there's a lot of people that haven't, and that's their own choice. I won't judge them too much on that, but I kind of felt like I need to play my part because there's a lot of people that are losing jobs, losing money kind of thing, and if it means I do 15 minutes less on a Sunday long run, it's not really the end of the world for me. So that's really the only way it's affected my training this week is I just only ran 29K probably rather than 32 or something like that. So, yeah, that's really all.
Yeah, it was an interesting one checking Strava this morning. Like, I think the first and second time around, people were just like maybe stopping their watches and only uploading 2 hours. But some people just didn't seem to care, just uploading all big stuff. And I'm like, but I think now people probably like are less judgmental, like less kind of attacking kind of thing. And it's like, well, is a person running an extra half an hour actually putting anyone at risk?
Yeah, it's that, I don't know, it's such an interesting topic because, like, I know there's a heap of people in Bendigo that did well and truly over 2 hours today and probably more than 5K from home, but they're running that in the bush literally by themselves. They might see one or two people, but I know for me it's that if you break that little rule, it might be someone in wherever goes over to someone's house, and if they have the virus, like, you know what I mean? It's just, it's not...
If a runner gets to do an extra half an hour, why can't I go visit someone who's 7K away?
Yep, exactly. That's where I'm kind of like, nah, I need to pull back a little bit. So yeah, that's why there was no double today, because I only had 7 minutes out of my, because I ran for 153 minutes. So I was just like, nah, I don't really need it, especially after that pretty solid effort towards the end of my run.
Did you feel good? So you did the 95 minutes and then changed shoes?
Nah, in the 1080s.
When you were talking about the Alpha Flyers getting cold?
No, that was, that was
Thursday.
Yeah. No, this was in the 1080s. 1080s kept my feet nice and warm, actually.
Yeah, so then you rolled, did you even stop and stretch, or you just went straight into 6K at 308 pace?
Nah, so I literally ran past my car, took my gloves and hat off just so I felt a little bit faster. You know, that old trick of, run a little bit.
Yeah.
I know. I just reckon you take your gloves off and you feel faster. And then straight into it. So no stopping, no stretching or nothing like that. So that was probably the hardest part about it, because, as you know, I'm pretty big on my drills and all that kind of stuff. And
yeah.
I do a fair old warm-up that probably takes me kind of jog for 20 minutes, and I'll probably do nearly 15 minutes worth of drills and strides kind of every session. Jumping straight into 6K at 308 pace after doing 95 minutes, it was, that first K was the hardest part, actually. It was pretty tough.
Yeah, once you get going. But then did it feel all right, though?
Yeah, after probably the last 3K of the 6K felt the best. Because I think mentally you're kind of like, oh, I've been going for so long, I've only got 3K to go. So I did this around the wedge, which is, it's pretty infamous where Jamie Cook does a lot of his training. So those people that follow him on Strava, they'd be...
Jamie the Beast Cook.
Jamie the Beast, yes. They'd be aware of this Strava shape that looks like a wedge, and he clocks many, many kilometres around there. I think he holds the local legend, you know, Strava keeps track of that. And it's, I think, because it keeps track for 90 days. And I think at his peak, he'd done over 90 efforts in those 90 days, which is pretty impressive. So that means he'd ran around the segment once a day for over those 90 days. So he loves it. It's pretty flat for Bendigo speak. You'd probably call it hilly.
A few rollers in there.
Yeah, a few rollers. So it's
elevation gain 0 meters.
Yeah, that doesn't look good
on your Strava now. Yeah, it's a couple just to mix it up a bit.
Yeah. So I don't know. This was I knew this was coming in the program, and I remember Scotty telling me about it, and he used to do this at the end of his Sunday long runs, and he used to call it a 6K thumper. That's what he used to call it, where you just run hard for 6K. So I knew it was coming, and I was actually pretty pumped for this one, because I stayed up and watched Rose and Izzy Bat Doyle race last night, well, this morning at 4:30.
Stayed up till 4:30, or you got up at 4:30?
Got up and then went back to sleep and then got up again. So I was pretty pumped.
How'd you get back to sleep? I would have just stayed up.
Yeah, no, well, I watched it. I literally watched it in bed on my phone, and I was...
So like 4:30, wasn't it?
Yeah, 4:30. Yeah. And then, I don't know, I somehow managed to get back to sleep and, slept till about 8:30, then rolled out and ran, which was quite good, actually. It's kind of like I didn't get up in the first
different for you
place.
Guys. Usually start pretty early down there. It would have been fresh as well. It was cold in Tucumoama this morning.
Yeah, very, very cold. And that's one of the things I've realised I think I've lost a little bit of weight just with the Ks I'm running, and I'm just not warming up. Like, I was wearing a pretty good long sleeve, a hat, and gloves, and it wasn't until I hit kind of One Tree Hill that I kind of finally warmed up a little bit. But this was good fun, actually. It's probably, I'd say this was on par with the 3x2.5K in terms of effort.
Really?
And kind of how I, just that 6K, I think, because
like
it was just
18 minutes.
Yeah, but
at 308, maybe the shoes?
Yeah, and I think just rolling straight into it, like my legs were just like, oh, this is hard. And I think because I'm so used to doing all those drills and strides, like you go out and try and run a 308K without...
Yeah, you probably got rolling a bit on your long run as well. Like usually you'd be slower for that first 95 minutes with the group there.
Yes.
But because they couldn't exercise with anyone.
Yeah.
Like, you rarely run... You wouldn't run a 404 in the fourth K usually on your Sunday long run.
Nah, never, never. Like my slowest K there, I think, is 4:24 out of the whole long run, whereas normally it's the slowest is 4:30 or...
Even your 19th K, you're at a 4:13, but the gap was 41 metres and it spits you out at 3:40.
Yeah, like,
Some solid work up the hills there, so maybe that knocked you around a bit as well.
Yeah, and I don't know. I just think that first 3K was just a real... it's just a bit of an eye-opener, I think. But once I got going, I felt good. And I don't know, New Balance 1080s probably aren't the fastest shoe out there.
that's good hitting that pace in those shoes. Launceston Half Marathon, you mentioned before, 2 weeks today. Yep. Are you concerned that we may not be able to fly out of Melbourne?
Yeah, I'd lie if I was saying that it's not on my mind. I don't know. There's not much I can do at the moment. So it's, I don't know. I try not to listen to the news, but there was a few people kind of saying, oh, we might have extended lockdowns and all this kind of stuff. So I think at the moment, my general vibe is if we come out of this lockdown on Wednesday and the cases stay low, I'm hoping we can get there, but I don't know. You never know. So it's, I don't know. There's not much point wasting energy on it because whatever I think is not going to change anything. So I'm slightly concerned, but trying to put it to the back of my mind.
Yeah, so the lockdown will hopefully or potentially end, and then we'll have like a week for maybe normality to go back before we have to... Because I'm the same. Like, obviously, I'm flying out of Melbourne, even though I'm a New South Wales resident. But I would have the option to drive to, I don't know, Adelaide, Canberra, Sydney, and then fly from one of those capital cities.
Yeah. But
turns like a 3.5-hour trip into like a 11-hour trip. One way. A bit more expensive.
I might just pull out of Launceston and come up and do your half marathon.
Yeah, well, I was going to say that. If I paced you for the first 10K and then Archie paced you for the second 10K.
Yeah, perfect. Why go to Lonnie?
Yeah. If you get real desperate, I was just thinking that when you were talking about it. If you wanted to hit out, we could organise something like that, nice and flat, fast roads up here. Yeah. What pace do you want to go? 30-30-ish kind of through 10K?
Yeah, I reckon.
I'll take you the first 10, Archie, take you the second 10.
Get in contact with Tom DeCano and Benny Saint and see if they want to come as well.
Nah, because they'll be right. They'll be able to fly straight down.
Yeah, but they might want to come Jack to Moama instead.
Nah, not good prize money in Moama. Imagine that, had those boys rolling around. Second thing, so it'll be interesting to see what happens there. Hopefully that airport's back going, or maybe we could get lucky where they open it to regional people and... Because they've done that in the past, like at the end of that other lockdown, they opened it up to regional Victoria if they didn't go into Melbourne.
Yeah, the thing I'm worried about is Bendigo is actually listed as a hotspot. Yeah,
true. And that, so, they're just going to cancel too much. They're not going to be able to fill regional, like flights of regional people and everything just get cancelled anyway.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting. A possible option is I could possibly fly to Sydney from Bendigo Airport and then go down to Launceston. But I think Bendigo is going to be lumped in the same case as Melbourne because we had those few people that came to Bendigo that had COVID. So
imagine doing that, Bendigo to Sydney, so you go in the complete opposite direction.
Yeah.
And then go from Sydney and pretty much fly straight over Bendigo to go to Launceston.
That'd be bad for morale.
That would be real bad. Not good for the wallet either. I looked at those flights. They're not cheap.
Yeah, they're expensive.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll keep posted on that one. The other bit of news, Rose Davies, you mentioned before, she went to number, I was just looking at it for the Inside Running podcast, number eight of all time. I think she ran a 22-second PB for 5K, pretty much punches her ticket to the Olympic Games. She spends a lot of time, same coach as you, spends a bit of time in Bendigo, like to claim her as a Bendigo bat. Must have been pretty cool watching that at 4:30 in the morning.
Yeah, it was awesome. I've kind of got to know Rose pretty well over the last few years, and we spent a fair bit of time together just at numerous races, and she's come down to Bendigo a few times and trained here before a lot of those big races at Box Hill and all that. So it was just awesome to see. Like, I think a lot of people forget that she's still only 21. And she, obviously racing over there in Europe would be a massive change, especially when a lot of her last few races have all been at Box Hill. And Nick Badeau does a phenomenal job in setting up these races, but they're all scripted. Like, they have, Nick has it so well planned, and Rose knows exactly what's going to happen. And then she kind of, with this race, went to a whole new country. And it's, I think to pull out that performance on her very first race as a 21-year-old is just, oh, I was so pumped. And to see Izzy run well as well, like, I was just, yeah, I was, yeah, really happy, especially Izzy getting so close, at Box Hill, missing out by like a second. And then, yeah, it was pretty cool. Did you get up and watch it, or?
No, I woke up at about, I go to bed super early and then wake up super early. So I think I was up maybe 5:15 and had just seen Tara Palm had done an Instagram story. She obviously would have trained a lot with Izzy. So I saw that and then I was like, whoa. And then I went back and watched it. And they were both impressive. Like, Izzy off the front as well. Like, she's, she does that pretty well. And then when she went to the front, I think the pacemaker pulled out about 8.5 minutes in. So, and then she just wound it up, didn't she? And then to kick away and win like that as well. And then Rose looked like she was dropping off for a while and then closed the gap and got back on. So, geez, I was just saying to Archie this morning when we were jogging, like, you look at our female potential Olympic team, start the marathon and work your way down, like Lisa, Sinead, Ellie, so pretty good quality there. And you can, you know, considering that Jess and Millie aren't on the team. And then you're looking at the 10K who we're not sure on yet, so we'll just skip over that. But then the 5K, potentially Jess Hull, Izzy Bat, Doyle, Rose Davies, 1500, you chuck Lyndon Hall and maybe Jess Hull in there as well. The 800, you got Katrina Bissett. Like, it's just loaded with superstars from 800 through the marathon. And then, like, you chuck Jen Gregson in for a steeple. It's a good time to be a fan of females Australian distance running, for sure.
Especially that 5K, like, Jess, or probably Izzy might be the oldest, but Izzy's still got a lot of good running ahead of her, and she looks so strong. And I was chatting to her this morning or late last night, and she was kind of saying how she was hoping the paces kind of went a bit longer, and you'd like to think that if she had a bit more competition, she could probably run another 5 or 10 seconds quicker.
You put her in that race with Jess Hull, where she ran 14:57. Izzy's running 14:57 as well.
Yeah, exactly. Did you watch that Jess Hull race?
No, I just watched the very end of it, just some Instagram stories of, like, the kickdown. I always hate American races and Europe ones because you never know what time they're on. Like,
it is tricky. I paid the, I think it was $5 American to watch that, the whole Portland meet.
Yeah, I like that concept because it doesn't go, like, into prize money as well.
Yeah. So it goes into prize money, and it actually gave you two days of racing, and you can log on and you can watch it live or you can watch it back, which was really cool. And there was so many Aussies running. So there was a fair few 10Kers yesterday, and then there was 8s, 15s and 5Kers today. So I'd love to see that. Like, I think we all acknowledge the work that Lockie Rayner does at Athletics Exclusive, and we'd love to see him make a bit of money from that, but also to see the 4,000, 5,000 people that tune into those races, I suppose, give back to the athletes in a way, because I think everyone that watches the live stream will go, this is good quality. Like, obviously you don't want what happened at that Parkdale GIF.
To be good quality. That's the big thing. Was that one that you watched good quality?
Portland? I reckon it was probably 98% of the time it was perfect. There was just a few little times where it was like loading and, you know, where it goes blurry for like five seconds, but then comes good. And that was it. So I was wrapped. And if they ever do any more meets, I'm definitely going to pay. Like, I would have watched 6 hours of running over the weekend, which was just awesome.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Think about what other things in your life you spend $6 on.
Yeah.
Like, do you know what I mean? It's like people whinge about things being $6. Oh, I've got to pay for this $6 live stream. But then you go buy like a coffee that costs you $5. Or you go out and have a beer and it's like $10 for a schooner.
Drink less beer, spend more money on watching running streams.
You buy a pair of Next Percents that costs you $320 and you're like, this is fine. This is nothing.
Yeah. But I can get around it. It was really good. They had a lot of the runners that race to come in and commentate, like Nick Willis was commentating the 5K, and it was really cool. I saw there was a how's this? An American high schooler, so high school up to year 12 result. There, ran 3:34, I think. Which
that's
is
insane.
Just,
it's under the Olympic qualifier.
Yeah. And he finished third or fourth in the race.
Yeah, I saw the picture of him, like, arms out coming across the line. Didn't he break the NCAA, like the university record as well?
Yeah, and he's probably not even, he wouldn't even be in
NCAA. That's what I mean. Yeah.
That's, I couldn't believe that when I was like, shit, he's 18.
Pretty amazing.
Pretty impressive, yeah. But heaps of Aussies racing there, which was awesome to see as well. So
yeah, it's supposed to be, isn't it? Get overseas. They've done well to all get over there. The Diamond League was there as well the other day. Stewie was pretty impressive there. Not sure if you saw that one. This has turned into a episode of Inside Running here where we just talk about the results.
Sorry, well, I'll get back. I've got my week for this week. Do you want to hear it?
Nah, because we'll do this next week. Just tell me how many Ks you end up hitting for the week. Then I've got a few listener questions for you.
I think I was about 175, I think. Have you got it there? I actually don't know. 173.1. 173, yeah. So
tried to add a bit of mayo.
Yeah, a little short. Scotty kind of likes to say if it's 180, give or take five, that's kind of where we want it. So I think just through that Wednesday being a bit shorter and then also today not being able to do that few extra little K, that's what cost me, but that's all right. I won't be, I don't think they'll make a difference come 5 weeks' time.
Pretty solid. Couple of listener questions here. Let me fire the first one off. This one comes in from Zach and Newman. People will be familiar with his name. Owner of Run to PB, CEO of Run to PB, actually, not the owner, one of the owners. Also prepping for the Gold Coast Marathon, so he'll be next to you on the start line, maybe. He wants to know how many gels. And potentially ones with caffeine will you be taking on race day?
Yeah, wow, that's it's a big question from Zaka. I actually don't know. I haven't
He's asking this question, by the way, because I think he's trying to figure out how many he's taken. So
yeah,
it's like, well, whatever Andy does, I'll do it.
He actually he sent me a message today because we actually did similar sessions today. He actually did a bit of a kick down at the end of his long run as well, and he's knocking out some good mileage at the moment.
Well. He put his alpha fires on though for the kickdown.
Yeah, he didn't like it when he I think he sent me a message saying, "Oh, did you wear your alpha fires?" And I said, "Nah, mate, 1080s." And I think that shut him down a little bit. But he likes the alpha fires because he reckons he's about 6 foot in them. So I told him he's wearing them for the wedding. But I'm not sure with nutrition and all that kind of gel kind of stuff. I've been practicing a little bit, not much. Scott really doesn't like me having too much because then he thinks your body gets used to it, which I'm fully supportive of. I've probably had gels on maybe 3 runs and they haven't really upset my stomach. I've kind of practiced just running along and having them. And I don't know, I see some people and they're chewing down gels every long run and it's kind of like, I think it defeats the whole purpose of kind of getting your body to use those carbs and fats that you naturally store. So I don't know what my plan is yet. Scott kind of, he learnt from Dick Telford because he had Dick as a coach for a while and he's probably one of our best scientists kind of running kind of guys. So I don't know what that looks like at the moment just yet.
Yeah.
But I'd imagine every probably 5K, which is every drink station, I'd have a drink and a gel, and I'd probably look to take on a little bit of that drink and probably get on most of the gel every 5K.
Yep. Caffeine, do you know if you'll have any caffeine in them?
I have tried the caffeine. I don't know. I haven't noticed a difference, but I feel like it's probably a smart decision to have it rather than not have it because why not? But I don't know. I drink a bit of coffee and I never really notice caffeine makes a difference for me. I've tried the caffeine and then the non-caffeine Morton ones and I quite like them. I think they're awesome, really easy to eat and all that kind of stuff. But not too sure. I need to figure out that plan, but I know Scott will have that written down to the detail and I'll probably do that in the 2 or 3 weeks beforehand.
Yep. Well, there's not going to be many weeks left after that, so hopefully you try it beforehand. Matt Davey writes in, Will he be doing any heat no, shit, I can't pronounce his word. He hasn't even spelled it right. Acclimatization. He's spelled it wrong. Acclimation is written here. For gold.
He's a teacher, isn't he?
Yeah, I know. This is it, isn't it? Acclimation. Acclimation? That's not how you spell it, Davey. He's a teacher. Acclimatization should be the word. For Gold Coast, Bendigo is freezing at the moment.
Yeah, nah, I won't be.
People forget that, don't they? Sorry, just to add in, like, people think if Bendigo gets hot in summer that it's always hot. They think the same thing about Echuca, but like middle of winter up here, even today, like it was -1. Because we're so far inland, it gets fresh.
Yeah. So obviously a massive winner for us, us southerners, is that the marathon now starts at 6 compared to 8:20, 8:30 when it used to start. And
I'm that late. Because you used to do the half and you'd finish the 7:30, I think it was.
7:30.
Yeah.
But I remember being up there a few times watching my parents do the marathon, and I was just on the sidelines, and I was standing there, and it was 10 o'clock kind of thing. They normally run around 3 hours. And I was like roasting, and I was like, I cannot imagine running in this. Whereas I think that extra hour and a bit, starting a bit earlier, will make a massive difference. I'm heading up a few days beforehand, but I've got to work, so I'm not a full-time runner, so I can't go up to holidays to Noosa whenever I want. Like,
would
some
be nice
people.
Though, wouldn't it? Imagine going up there and not even training.
Very, very tough life. So I won't be doing anything beforehand. Just slaving away here in Bendigo.
Here's one for you, though. Like, let's say I've just got Gold Coast weather open now. Like, it could be 12 degrees at the start time.
Yeah.
And it might only get to, like, 14, 16. But if you're doing workouts say you did a workout this morning at 8 or 9 o'clock, it wouldn't be that hot. It would have been 5, 7. So will you potentially do workouts in the middle of the day in Bendigo when it might be 14, 15, to like stimulate what it is, no, simulate, not stimulate, simulate what it is going to be like at the Gold Coast?
Yeah, I don't know, maybe. There's a lot of unknowns with the marathon, but when I've done half marathons up there, I haven't noticed a big difference. And I think if it's 12 degrees, that's not really a massive jump. Like, fair enough. If you ran in Doha on the weekend where it's 40, like, that's a massive jump. It's been cold for a little bit, but it wasn't that long ago that we were kind of having mid to high 20s. Really. Yeah, so it's, yeah, I'm like, I can remember doing a session in a t-shirt getting quite hot 2 weeks ago kind of thing. So I think it's...
Yeah,
I
the have, next it's not, four, it's going to be cold though.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
It's getting colder, not hotter.
Yeah, yeah, no, you're right. But I don't think it disappears. Well, I don't think it leaves you that quickly. So it's, I don't know, I might do a few, just a bit of a longer run when it's in the middle of the day or something on a Sunday, just so I'm a bit used to it. But I actually haven't really thought about it. So it's, yeah, maybe I need to put a bit of thought into it.
You blokes got to get thinking down there, I reckon.
I sound very unprepared, don't I?
all good. Well, let's leave it there. Some news out of Athletics Victoria. Round 3 for the Bats got moved. It was meant to be this weekend coming. The Ekedon Relay, where everyone runs a different distance. They changed that to, I think it's the 7th of August, which works well for us, I think, because you were unavailable for this one.
Yep.
But all of a sudden, we might have a stronger team when this round actually happens now in August.
Although our team was looking pretty good. We had a pretty good swap for me. So I think we were probably, definitely eyeing off another victory, I reckon. Especially in Div 2, but I reckon an overall victory. Yeah. What were your thoughts on our team?
Yeah, it was a pretty solid team. I was thinking the same thing. Like, a bit out of town for the Melburnians. And we saw it Lydon Park. They don't like travelling. And obviously it's hard to replace you, but... the guy that we were hoping to replace you with, quality runner, sub 14, 15, 5K guy, sub 30, 10, 10K guy. Like, you're putting a quality person in that spot. So, yeah, it would have been interesting, but we'll wait and see. see what happens in April. No, August.
Yeah, but I don't know. I felt like we had a lot of momentum and it was a bit of a shame not to... But I suppose it's a fair call. Yeah, oh, massively, massively. Especially seeing those two Div 1 teams that didn't even field six. Like, it's really annoyed me this week. I've been thinking about that a lot. Like, how can you keep these two teams up there when they can't even get six runners? Like, it's just, I don't know, it's a bit of a joke, and that's why.
Especially when people are busting their guts trying to get to Division 1. Like, you see the effort we're putting in, you see the effort Mentone's putting in. Like, people are really, like, you don't want a competition where people treat your competition like that. You got to respect that Premier Division, otherwise it loses all its value.
Yeah, and we would be, I think we'd be equal with St. Stephen's at the moment if we were
top of the ladder.
Premier.
Yeah.
We've got fans all over the world, mate.
Fans everywhere, we've got sponsors. You know, get us up there. And that those guys in Div 1 want to race against us. When you're warming down with them, they're asking, hey, how many guys do you have in the top 30? Like, they're treating us like a Div 1 team.
Yeah, exactly.
You never know. This little break in the season might help us a bit, just to gain a bit of momentum, maybe get some foot in the door. I'm surprised, Sean Whipp's a smart man, Tim Crosby's a smart man. Like, I just feel at Athletics Victoria, there'd have to be some kind of talk going on to just be like, can we put this team up mid-season?
Surely.
What happens, though, if we finish on top of the ladder in Premier Division at the end of the year?
Yeah, I don't know. It's just awkward for them.
I know, that's what I mean. Like, you guys can avoid this awkwardness. Imagine if you're the winning team in Premier Division, but you've been rolled by 15 points to a Div 2 team, and you pick up that trophy at the end of the year.
Yeah, embarrassment.
We wouldn't be embarrassment, but you just feel a bit odd, wouldn't you? Like, this is a bit... we didn't really earn this, guys. And everyone would know. Like, you're just like... You can't just hide it.
Yeah, surely there's some big discussions going on at the powers at the top of AV that are, I know, looking for some bylaws or something where we can get in there. But
who's the best? Well, I still think that we've got some grounds to be arguing on around the whole 2020 season, because it didn't happen. No team got put up. Let's look back to 2019. Who finished second in Division 2? Oh, Bendigo, by just 1 point. Really, 1 point? Let's just put them up as well. Who have they got in 2021? Do we think they're going to be competitive? Oh, shit, they've come out and come second at Jales Park and then won the second round.
And surely if you're a Div 1 team and you can't field six people, surely you're going, we shouldn't be in Div 1.
Yeah,
surely.
Give them a ring and just say, hey, you guys, but pull your fingers out or we're kicking us out after third round.
Yeah, exactly. So I know that's been my bee in the bonnet this week, and it's, I put up an Instagram post and had the hashtag let the bats fly and tagged AV, so we'll see if it...
I've been tagging them in a bit of stuff as well,
See if they reshare it or not. They might just be going blind on
it. Hey, you see they cut the Bendigo Bats talk out of your interview, though. Remember I wanted this last time? I was like, did you talk about the bats? Well, I spoke about the bats. And then I watched it after we got off air and they just fully cut it out.
Didn't mention it.
Which is shame, because it sounds like they're on the defensive. Like, let's just ignore them from as long as possible and hope that they go away.
Yeah, and I've had a lot of feedback about this podcast and how it's good, how we're creating banter and we're promoting the XCR series to everyone in Australia and a fair few people around the world. And they're loving it. They love this thing. And it's like, we're just a small Div 2 team. Like, imagine if we're actually in Premier Division. Imagine how much rubbish we'd be able to talk if we're like in the big leagues.
Yeah, I'm just looking at these ladders. They've changed some of the points around. They've changed. Weren't we on 122 for Leiden Park? They've made us 125, and now they've put Western to 124.
Oh, that sounds too...
There's a conspiracy brewing here. There's a conspiracy going on here.
They're really worried that we're going to come out on top at the end of it.
You know what? Let's add them a point so they don't look good. Something's going on here. 1st, 9th, 17th, 24th, 30th, and 44th. They've got us four down for. Jeez, I'm going to have to look at the results here, see what's going on.
I reckon probably what happened is they might have missed that Western A's athlete, which then put our athletes back
one point back. Yeah, that's exactly what would have happened.
Conspiracy. Let's go with the conspiracy.
Conspiracy. That's exactly what's happened. Yeah. So we've lost a couple of points. That's right. So we would have got, that's right. Yeah. So we would have come second. So we've got 2 seconds in Premier Division for the season.
It's pretty good.
We might be just off the top. Rightio, thanks, listeners. If you have been tuning in, once again, that was going to be like a 25-minute show just to hear about Andy's week. We've gone for an hour. If you like what we do here, we really do rely on you guys to spread the word. We don't have any social media for this podcast. We don't have any managers or budget or anything like that. We just do this one for free, free to listen to, not free to make, because it does take an hour away from our families to record it and then a bit of time to prepare it. So if you like what you hear, you can give us a review on iTunes or wherever you listen to the podcast. That's really nice. Or screenshot listening to us, like the little Tell Me Your Tales logo with a bat in there, and put that on your social media. That would do all right for us.
And I can feel free to tag AV in that as well. Just to let them know you support us, and put a bit of pressure on them to get us up into Div 1.
Yeah, we need to let them know that there's some fans out there. Even if they just do like some social media post, just drop the old bat emoji in there. Doesn't even have to be a social media post about like the cross-country season. Like if they're promoting their coaching courses or something, just add the bat emoji in there and see if we can get them fired up and engaged. There we go.
That's a great idea. I love that.
Imagine every post they just do now is like 600 bat emojis.
I would love that.
And it just keeps going until they put us up. Just try to like harass our way in there with keyboards. Brilliant. All right, Andy, we're done. I'll talk to you next week, eh? We'll get another weekly recap, and then before Launceston, that'd be good. I reckon we try to bring a guest in next week as well.
Yeah, I might tee up one of the buckles, but I just don't know which one yet. So
I'm trying to figure out which one's which when they're identical twins.
If I get both of them on here, it might be a bit hectic because they'll start bagging each other out because they like to get one up on each other.
They're
so we'll...
identical twins. They've done everything together. Let's give them their show each.
Yeah, true. All right. Good point.
See you, mate. Stay injury free.
Thanks, mate. You too. See you, mate.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.